2016, during a meeting, a prophetic word was given by UCB's CEO, David LaRue. It paints a picture of an extraordinary future where lives, towns and cities are transformed by the power of God's word. Where people of all ages rediscover their purpose, where society is changed because churches walk tall in confidence with compassion. At UCB, we believe that God is getting the world ready for something new, something that will powerfully change lives. We believe He wants to open our eyes to see, as Jesus said, that the fields are white for the harvest. And that when we turn our eyes from the reports of gloom and despondency, we will begin to get a glimpse of the extraordinary. So, I see is not just a glimpse of a remarkable future, it is also a call to action. It's an urgent reminder that in divided and turbulent times, the world needs hope and transformation more than ever. It is a compelling reminder to believers to ask God for something new, to get deeper into their Bibles, to share their stories, and to reach out to their communities like never before. Imagine what it would look like if revival became an everyday experience for you, your family, your street, your workplace. As the saying goes, future is bright. But with the transforming power of God, the future is not only bright, it is extraordinary.
That came with a challenge of Jesus' word to his disciple, when he actually challenged them and says, you need to actually lift up your eyes and look at the field and see how white and ready they are for the harvest. It says there to look at the glooms and the despondency and the brokenness that there is in our world today. But I think God wants us to see what he sees today. And here is what I see. I see God turning the heart of a godless society back to himself. I see a church living and operating in the power of the gospel. I see our government, our laws, our society being reshaped by the truth of God's word. I see family unit coming all together into the knowledge and the transformation of God's power from the toughest part of the cities to the rural part of our country. I see every generation, should it be young or old, knowing their worth and experiencing value and a purpose for their life. I see people standing for what is true and becoming intolerant for all the right reason, intolerant for injustice, intolerant for wrongdoing. That's what I see. I see people getting ready to answer God's call in a way that we've never seen it before. I see people standing together, totally united for their city and not be afraid to stand and say, we are the church. I see the church mobilized to take the gospel to the town, the village and the cities, making disciples and being totally committed to what God has called them in the very core of the society. I see changing statistics. I see somehow the statistic turning down rather than up, relationship being restored. I see addiction being broken. I see miracle to be the order of the day in a life of the society because the church is the true light and soul today like never before. I see an army of young people having vision. And I see the older people, instead of being put on the shelf, having dreams that they never had before and wanting to support and converge with the young generation to make sure that God will have his way. I truly see and believe that the day is coming that God is going to pour his spirit upon all flesh. I see the young and the old, the children and the grandparents, lifting the banner of victory, looking at their society and believing that God has a message of hope, and praising God for using every mean, every every effort, everybody, to lift up a banner of victory. That's what I see today. That's what I see today.
So at Mission Worship, we were there, and in the evening we were worshiping, and I sat down, and God gave me this vision. So I was standing on Piccadilly, looking south towards Green Park, and a bus goes past, and it has on the side of it that where the advert is, it's completely black, and it has in white writing, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then when I give them to heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Which is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And
what was that?
2 Chronicles 7:14. And then I was taken to somewhere else in London on another bus, same thing. And I was taken to various places in London, and the number of buses for this song increased every time, until it got to the point where every single bus had this verse written on the side of every bus. And then I was taken to other cities around the country. I know the first one was Manchester, I can't remember what the rest were. But the same thing, the buses went by and they had the same verse on them. And then after the cities, and there weren't masses of them, I think there were about 6 different cities that I went to. After that, I was in towns, but there were smaller places, and same thing on buses. And then after that, I was in villages, and buses go by, and the same thing, same verse written on buses. Then I was back in London, and same thing, buses going past. And then a bus came past, and it had a different verse on it. And it said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then again, I was in different bits of London, but the verses were changing. They all had verses on them, and the original verse was still there, but mixed in with that were other verses about salvation, about being saved. And that was the end of that. So when I heard this on UCB, I thought, wow, it sort of sits with that. And then I was reminded of the picture that was given. Was it Pete Bending had the picture they gave to Brian about here, about it being full and people outside the door trying to get in, and so forth. And I thought all these things they actually fit together. And I don't know how many others there are out there. There's probably lots more. But you know, with revival, with this sort of thing, it always starts with the church, doesn't it? It always starts. God revives the church, and then it spills out. When Moses was, he'd run away from Egypt because he was scared for his life. But God's got a purpose for him. And he's got a purpose not just for him, he's got a purpose for the whole of the people. But he has to start with Moses. And Moses sees this bush just burning, but isn't burning up. And he thinks, wow, that's weird. We've got to get a closer look. God speaks to him out of the bush. And he tells him, I'm going to set my people free. And you're going to be my spokesperson. You're going to go and you're going to lead my people. No, you've got the wrong person here. Send someone else. And we know how the conversation goes. And it's not a short conversation, is it? It's not just, I submit. It's not like Mary. Mary's amazing. Mary is incredible how she immediately submits to what God is saying. But Moses, he puts up a fight. Like Gideon, too. Gideon, he put up a fight. No, you can't be right. I'm the least in my family. And my family is the least in my tribe, and my tribe is the least in Israel. You've got the wrong guy. But God doesn't get these things wrong. And he puts his hand on Moses, and Moses submits and becomes powerful in his hand. But it's from the center out that the final takes place. God isn't going to do something amazing out there and it comes in to the churches. It starts with his people. He revives his people. And I think that God is trying to get our attention at the moment. I think he's trying to say to us, get ready. When you look at the New Testament and read Acts of the Apostles, it's a little bit mind-blowing, really. What would it have been like to actually live at that time? To actually be part of that church, that first church? I've got to be honest, I can't really comprehend what it would have been like to have been one of those people in that first church in Jerusalem. They were meeting every day. Imagine that.
Let's go for it.
They're meeting every day. They're sharing their food, they're sharing everything. Their possessions. They're selling their houses and everything and putting them into a big pool. And can you imagine that? Imagine that. No. We can't, can we? Crazy. And yet, I'm not suggesting that's what God wants us all, but what I am saying is that when the power of God comes in such a dynamic way, it changes us. It really changes us at the core. And I'm very conscious, I don't know about you, but I am very conscious that to really be effective, to really be on fire for God, I need God to come in here in an amazing, powerful way. Now, I'm one of those people who have been to all sorts of meetings over the years. And I went to, we used to go to Victory in Jesus Crusade in Sutton, which was when we were teenagers and young 20s, and Colin O'Carp was one of the speakers there regularly. And all sorts of things have been going on. And there's another, I didn't like the other guy so much, Trevor Deary. And he walked down the aisle and people would be falling over. I went to Queen's Road Baptist in Wimbledon when that was a few years ago, when there was, I don't know if it was an outspilling of the Pensacola revival, but there was various places in the UK where this was going on. I went there and I was like last man standing. I got prayed for, nothing happened. And that's what I don't know if you can identify with that, but that's my general experience of these sort of meetings. But I know that think also we need to recognise that that is something that God wants to do. That we should not be satisfied with what we have. Not be happy with the status quo. God has got so much more than we can imagine. We can imagine quite a lot, can't we? Let's be fair, we can imagine quite a lot. But God's got more than that. Much more than that. So the question is, are we open to that? Are we willing to say, Lord, come, do whatever you want to do. Take my life and change me. Fill me to the point where I am personal. Overflowing with your grace. It's a big step, because what God might do might totally blow our minds. But you know, the thing is, when you look at someone like Moses, or you look at Gideon, what God did was amazing. But none of it was bad. None of it was bad. And I read a few biographies last year. So I read Smith Wigglesworth, totally devoted to God. But what God did through him was amazing. I read Hudson Taylor and George Whitfield's biographies. Completely different people, but people who just did surrender everything. And God did everything good. I think that's, we're frightened, aren't we? We're so frightened often of allowing God to completely take us over and do what he wants to do. And yet, everything that God wants to do is good. So I want to leave that thought with you, but I also want to leave with you this. These prophecies, these things, are just God getting our attention, saying, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. It's going to happen. It is coming. You need to get ready. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you are almighty. And yet, Lord, we know that we haven't seen the extent of your might in our generation. Lord, it would be awesome to see you do amazing things. Like in that prophecy, the miracles and healings being the everyday, revival being the everyday thing, where people, just as they come in contact with believers, are overcome by the power and the awe of you, your presence. But Lord, we do want to see that. Lord, we want to see this place changed. We want to see Merston transformed into a place where, as in that prophecy, the statistics have changed, the crime is going down. Lord, relationships are being healed. People are being transformed. Lord, we want to see you move now. We want to see healings regularly. Lord, we want to see you touch people's lives every day. We want to see the miraculous in our lives. But Lord, we know that you start with us. Lord, you start with our hearts, with our lives, us that desire. Lord, light your flame in our hearts. Light it. Make it burn. Burn bright. Give us that overwhelming desire. You know us so perfectly, and you know, as scripture tells us, you know the plans you have for us that are good, to give us a hope and to give us a future. Lord, everything you have for us is